So the key idea was that if you have this lattice E8 and then these two hyperplane lattices, you in this procedure of lattice reduction or unfolding of the modular domain of the SL2Z, you have two choices, and so to say, you can make the choice which leads to the geometric reduction, and you can make the choice that leads to the Harvey-Moore reduction or Borchers reduction, and the one which leads to the Borchers reduction is not the one that has to do with the classes that you need to compare with the Gromov-Witten invariant. So it is, so to say, just the same function, but at the other point in the modulus. So you can now write down all genus results. So once you understood how you make the integrals, you can write down all genus, and this will be in this 10 fiber classes of the Enriquez will be the result. So for the Borchert's reduction, it's actually FG is C. So this. After you have reduced, you get rid of one of these lattices, right? And therefore you have only m comma m, so it's now in the one which you have not reduced on, and then this q vector is in this lattice, and this incidentally will turn out to be the Picard lattice of the Enriquez. I mean, if you do the geometric reduction. So, but here it's up to a 2, it's actually the same lattice. So you get this expression, and it has this typical Li 3 factors, so Li 2 minus 2g, and then e to the minus rt. Right.
What is the exponential of fg summed over? That's presumably easier, right? Can you give me another formulation for the z, not f?
For the c?
Z.
For this one?
No, z, not c. Z.
For z instead of f?
Yeah.
You mean something like product?
Yeah, because Borchert looks like product, and e to the f is also a product.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to say Li's. Li's are not nice, and sometimes Z is.
Okay, I mean, you can always write this as a product, but I haven't really. We haven't.
I would have thought if you write it, it looks simpler.
It's nicer.
That's the only reason I'm asking.
Okay, but the anyway, I mean, this thing will then appear as exponents in this product. These guys. And these guys are given. So these are fairly simple. So these are again generated by a modular function, which is. So this is, let's say, the result. So I write it. So this would be the all genus result for the Borchers reduction, and then the all genus result for the geometric reduction. I write in a second. So let me just say what this is. So this is all one modular function. So this is eta function. These are the normal theta function. And these PGs are actually.
Sorry, Albert, I don't understand your first line. Unfortunately, FG is sum over CG of Q or Q square. What is that?
Now this is Q, so it's summed over Q and M and N.
But what does that? CG is the argument of CG is an integer, right? Q is a vector.
Yeah, this is actually an even integer.
What do you mean by a vector plus a number? And how do
you? Well, shit.
Sorry.
Sorry.
You're like a bastard.
Yeah, really?
No, come on.
Okay. So these PGs, these are actually Schur polynomials. So these are Schur polynomials, and their arguments are Eisenstein functions. So it's like 1/2 E4. And so I said a little bit too much. It's not modular; it's quasi-modular because E2 actually always appears. So this is these are symmetric functions. sure function. And then, so that is this result. And for the other, for the geometric, and this is the one which I'm then try to make some sense out of. L Li. So this is Li. So this is. The argument n, then it's x to the n over k n, right?
It's not the same,
right? K. It's like this n, and then I sum over k. Right. So if Li 1 is log, right. Oh, 1 minus log x. So that is this one, and the Kunu don't like this anyway, just please.
You have a die logarithm and all that stuff?
Yeah. Die tri.
Right.
It's trinum.
So Li 1 is something like minus log x. Log minus 1 minus x, like this. And then this is the higher log. So then the geometric reduction. Is then you have actually to distinguish between the even and the odd classes. So you get C G R squared, and you get 2 So this. This is the answer, and then in this case the C G N is also quasi modular function, which is 128. So anyway, this encodes, as one would claim, this encodes all genus direction in the fiber classes. So now I can try to make some sense of these things, and in order to do that, I organize them according to this Gopakumar-Wafa prescription. And the idea is very simple. If you think about this amplitude, then there were only BPS states contributing, and the BPS states are of course come in numbers. And these numbers you can try to figure out. I mean, weighted by the right spin and so on and so forth. But these numbers you can write, and it makes this expansion makes it an integral expansion, because the BPS states are just come in certain degeneracies, and you count them. And you do that by doing in the field theory you can do a Schwinger loop integral over this, and then there comes a certain form for this. What is f? You have seen that, right? Or, you are you interested in this? I think.
It's technical.
Cinch.
Oh no, you can't have the show.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, so you can count these BPS states, and then you can sort of say look at them, and that is what I want to sort of say check a couple of them and make some reasoning why I think they are the right ones. So R is so this R is actually integer, because so R is in the lattice gamma 1 H, and this is the Picard lattice of the Enriquez of E. And so it depends only on R squared, and this is integer because this lattice is of course integer and even as well, and so on. So the first thing is that all these are zero, and the second thing is that here these have a very simple pattern, so they go like this, not 20. 24 is missing. And then there are some other numbers which are higher, which I don't write down. So first of all, you see that all of them are actually 0 mod 8. So So all the, so these are the n, so they call them ngb, or I should call them ngr, and they are 0 mod 8. So why is that? Well, I mean, first of all, you have four fibers. I mean, you can argue that from the generic K3 vibration, there are no curves contributing. So they basically see this. They see this modelized space, which cancels the contribution. So they see this torus on which the normal zero mode argument says that they are canceled. So it comes only from the fibers. And now I have to recall a tiny bit about Enriquez. So Enriquez is actually so that K is not trivial, so this is different than K3. So that is not a trivial bundle, but K E squared is O. K is the canonical bundle. So if it would be K3, then it would be trivial. And here is only the double. If you square it, you get zero. And then there is an interesting fact, which is actually simple to prove. But if there is a curve in the Picard lattice, then you can have the curve, and you can have the curve plus Ka, which is non-trivial. And this has the same square. So if you write it like this, this is actually what I call R squared. So whenever I have an R, I have a guaranteed two curves with the same intersection number, and that makes out of, so I have four Enriquez fibers which contribute, and I have a degeneracy of two, which makes this all mod 8. So that's nice. And then you can come a little bit to this picture that Kumum and Gopakumar and Sheldon and myself developed for this modelized space. So basically, if you have the modelized space of this D2 brain, then it's made out of of two components. One is, so to say, it's geometrical modelized space, how the curve can move. And then another is the flat U1 bundle. And for this, you can see this as a Jacobian vibration over this modelized space. So this is the Jacobian of the curve. And the so roughly speaking, what Kumum and Gopakumar thought is true, and it's also is morally speaking true, at least. I mean, you can make sense of it in some geometric. Is that the SU2, so to say, SU3 right acts on the base. I mean, as Lefschetz action on the cohomology of the base, and the SU2 left acts as Lefschetz action on the cohomology of the fiber. So it's just you have the usual Lefschetz action. So you multiply by k to raise it, and with the Kähler class, and then you contract, and so you can have the Lefschetz action. And the and there's a special case which is actually very simple. So the so this highest n beta g comes actually always with a representation E G, and this E is 2 0 plus 1/2. So this is the one of the torus. So if you take the whole undegenerated fiber, it would represent one of these I G. So this is I, and this is I tensor G. So from this follows that in this case you have only to look at the fiber, and then you see the simple formula trace minus 2 J R 2 J. So if you now make a Lefschetz decomposition of this fiber cohomology, then you get just the minus 1 to the Euler number of the fiber, minus 1 to the dimension, and then the Euler number of this of the base. So this is the contribution. So this follows that then Ng beta is this. So this gives us some handle on these numbers, because the I claim that this come all from smooth curves, this one, and so I have just to figure out what this modelized space is, and that I can do easily. So so you use then So you use then adjunction formula. I mean, that is also very standard. So this this formula. So, and then you also have to use, I guess, the so this is just R squared plus C. Let me just make one point here, and then so this is the adjunction formula which relates this this one, which I also call R squared, to the genus. And then there is another formula, which is Riemann-Roch, and which gives some information what is the dimension of the deformation space. So the Riemann-Roch actually reads for this surfaces like this. So you have O of C, and then you have C squared plus C KS, where this is the surface. In our case, it's the Enricus. And then over 2, and then you have the arithmetic genus of the surface. So you have something like O chi of O of the surface. And now that's, so to say, the difference between K3 and Enricus. So if you have this one, since the Hodge diamond of the K3 is like this, and for the Enricus this is gone, so this is either a 1 or 2 for Enricus or 2 for K3. And if you plug this in, then you find that actually H, well, first of all, you have to argue that H2, 0 of this OC equals H1, that this is 0. And then the So you have to argue this both are zero, and then H0 is the one which you are interested in. This is the deformation space, and this is just this thing that I have calculated above. And if you plug that in, then you find that H naught of OC is actually G, or G plus 1, and as the moduli space always is projectivized, so you get actually, for this you get P G minus 1 for MC, and for this one you get PG. And so you see, that is basically the difference between K3 and Enricus. In the K3 case, Strominger and Zaslo and Yao could actually put G nodes and generate genus 0. But in the Enricus, you are, so to say, one dimension short, and you cannot produce this first row. So this shows that the first row is actually zero. And if you keep in mind these two arguments of the doubling and the fact that you have these two fibers, you get this row, of course, from this argument. And now you can actually go. I mean, you can basically apply the things that we did with Sheldon and Kumrum to this case. And so there's one sort of nice case, and this is, well, I mean, so basically, if you want to make this fly, this counting with the Jacobian, you have to know for the lower genus curves. So the higher genus curves are no problem, you just count the Euler number of the base. But if you want to have the lower genus curve, you must know how, when this Jacobian degenerates, because you're putting basically nodes on your curve, and you have to have the Euler number of these places where this degenerates. And there are certain sublocus where this degenerates, and I have to know the Euler number of these, because all the Euler number comes basically from the sublocus, because otherwise the torus is open, and then you got you get no contribution. So for this reason, you have a formula, which I don't write down, but you need to know this Euler number of the sublocus, which when you put one node and d nodes and so on. And how do you do this? So this is very simple. You just put d nodes in the Enricus, and you require that your curve passes to this d node. So these are d nodes. So that gives that kills from this part. It kills the moduli space, becomes minus d minus 1, because you basically put as many constraints as you have nodes. And then you have to know what is the moduli space of putting these nodes. in the first place. And this is a nice answer. It's basically the standard free field resolution of the Hilbert scheme of a symmetric orbifold. So you get actually this sum over chi, the guys that I'm interested in, d, qd, actually falls in a nice series, which is basically the product n 1 to infinity 1 over 1 minus q to the n, and then the Euler number, which is 12. So you get all this degenerate loci in this series. So this is q and so on. And now you can plug this in this formula that I haven't written down, but it's a formula which basically relates this NG to this moduli of nodal curves. And if you do that, you get, almost all numbers, I mean up to the ones where they are irreducible curves, because there was always a problem if you have irreducible, but for instance this 128 and various higher numbers you get. So this is a relatively convincing check that this has really to do something to do with this enumerative stuff. And I think I should finish because...
All right, so far in this deterministic, just rearrange the numbers that you already got into integers.
And check them.
You didn't extract any information.
No, I checked them.
You checked them. No, he has computed this from hydraulic side and he's checking it from type 2 side.
So this is type 2
very
calculation.
Clear.
So I just want to see whether this result has something to do with what we know from type 2 from the moduli space of D2 brain.
So the integral was...
Oh, I see.
So it's if you think of... No, it's computing them. So it's like a precision check of hydraulic type 2. Anyway, we know that, but it works. I don't have too much... one thing which...
One thing I'm confused about. Did you really have to do the integrals? I mean, it seems to me that the Harvey double car states, or double Harvey states, are precisely the states we're counting for the black holes of the type 2 side. Why do you have to go through this doing the integral? I mean, if you look at how the spin of the theory acts, can't you read off the spin from the hydraulic string double Harvey states? And just can you just directly read off from the partition function these numbers? Why do you have to do integral?
I think in the case of the... In the case of the geometric reduction, it probably works.
No, what I'm trying to say is, let me say it more precisely. Couldn't you push this, I don't remember if this is one of those models where you could push it to fifth dimension or not. If you could one dimension up, which I think it might be, hydraulically it was easier to push it up. In which case, if you study the Walker-Harvey states of that, then there's an SO4 rotation symmetry, and you can read out what are the SE2 lefts of the spectrum. So if you look at the Walker-Harvey state and reduce it to SE2 left action, then you have the spectrum. You don't have to do any integrals. So it seems like you're doing and undoing an integral to get the integers back.
But so you get only the... I see. So you get the holomorphic piece, right?
Yeah. Wow, so it seems to me that you went through a step you didn't have to, because the Walker-Harvey states are the same states you're counting here. They're not different.
But I mean, one thing which, for instance, in this Borchers reduction... this function, of course, all accounts, D4, D0 brains, right? I mean...
No, I'm just saying...
No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying
you without
calculating the integrals,
yeah,
you should
have to do the integrals. I think, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on this one, if you could push this from 4 to 50,
yeah,
then you just... tabulate the state and ask in the hydraulic string spectrum how the SU2 left and SU2 right act.
Right.
On the Walker-Harvey states. And compute the index on that state and you're done.
Yeah, then you need only the partition function.
Which you do have.
We actually thought about it. I mean, but... I'm not sure whether you can lift it to 5 dimensions.
Well, the other model that we had with Shamit, you could lift it up to 5 dimensions. And in that case, you could, in some of the models we had with Shamit, you could lift it in 5 dimensions. So in those examples, at least, you could actually compute it just from the states, double Harvey states, and identify these integer invariants directly.
So you see the you can find basically the left and right spin of these guys. So the I think one thing which one can comment a little bit on is that the so if you look at how this mixes, right? So these are 10 classes of these 11 classes. So you see that at genus 0 there is nothing, and then at genus 1, if you look at BCOV's formula, then you see that it doesn't mix. So it's then you get for the base class just the eta. Then you get basically you get F1 of tau, which is the base class. You get 1 over 24, and then you get log eta tau. And then for the other classes, you have to understand how the full modular group is basically, and so how tau mixes with how this class mixes with the other classes, and maybe you can get something from starting with the T to T6 and looking at the invariant states there. But what also is interesting is that if you try to imagine how this goes on. I mean, there's of course always this SL2Z on this, and it could, for instance, I mean, this starts out like the thing from the 2D Young Mills, right? At this level, right. So it's possible that it actually counts a moduli space of this branch covers of this T2, because this T2 is still there and its monodromy is still there. I mean, the SL2Z, and this Sakier has shown that under some mild assumption how you do the recursion, that you get also quasi modular functions in this case, and it looks a little bit indeed as it would try to fit together with the other part of the story that we have. And so of course this would be great. Then one could finally solve a compact case if one would understand how this thing mixes.
Okay. Are there any questions? I have one question. There is this rational elliptic surface. I mean, you have half K3.
Yes.
Inside the club, yeah. In that case, we know all genus answer due to the work of Osano and company.
Right.
Is this a compact decompactification limit of this in some way?
No.
No, it's not related.
No. I mean, there you have plenty of genus 1 or 0, right?
Right, right.
I mean the.
It vaguely resonates with that case, but you're saying it's not related.
The Hodge diamond is the same.
Oh, I see.
Of
that's
EP.
Yeah, I have sort of a vague question. I mean, this is a topology question. I mean, in the genus 1, the moduli space compactified with 11 points, there's the first time odd cohomology appears. In genus 0, the cohomology of moduli space is all in even dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
First time odd appears is in genus 1 with 11 points. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if, and so implicitly, that's appearing in the Gromov with invariants.
I mean,
I'm just wondering if
MGN, and this is.
Yeah, M111.
111.
H11 of M111 is non zero. 11th Betty number is non zero. So I'm just wondering if that. I mean, it's 11-dimensional manifold. That's the middle dimension.
Right.
Just wondering if, so implicitly, any class here could appear in the Gromov-Lippmann invariants. I'm just wondering if it could somehow be seen. It's supposed to be related to a modular form and sort of a.
What happens if you go beyond 11 points?
These cohomologies aren't known.
I mean, in principle, if you in this Calabi-Yau moduli space, you don't have to put insertion, right? If you do it, it's always zero dimensional.
Some geometric construction where you would.
But if you so to say make for instance localization, you need these spaces as well. But I think they would then go very indirectly into the final numbers, because the localization. I mean, it's, if you do these graphs. in the localization, then you can have here a point where 11 edges come out in Concevich's picture. So they go in the calculation somewhere, but I don't see that that would be any easy.
You had 1s and 11s all over the flat. I've always wondered what the plan is.
There must be some good use for
it. I don't know.
Any other questions? Okay, let's thank Alvin.
I like this calculation better than the money.